Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Bishop Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come before you every Saturday morning and break bread with you. Amen. They're the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where the leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the co-founder, and the senior pastor is Pastor Oshabal Hartman with his wife, Lady E. Hartman. They have services every Sunday morning beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and 10 a.m. begins their worship service. They have Bible studies every Wednesday, actually every Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time. You can call into this number, 917-388-4161, and listen to the Bible study live. They also have Bible studies at their location every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. You can catch them on Facebook, YouTube, and their website is comingtothelight.org. That's comingtothelight.org. Well, thank you once again for calling in. Before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
Here I was, empty-handed, crying out from the pit of my despair. There you were, in the shadow, holding out your hand, you made me dead. And now where would I be without you? Where would I be, Jesus? You were the voice in the desert, calling me out in the dead of night, fighting my battles for me. You were my rescue story, lifted me up from the ashes, and carried my soul from death to life, bringing me from glory to glory. You were my rescue story.
worships. You deserve my praise. Thank you, Jesus. Adoration and glory, it belongs to you always. Oh, you deserve my worship. Yes, you do, Lord. You deserve my praise. Adoration and glory belongs to you always. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I just want to thank him for saving me. Yes, you do. Yes, you do, Lord.
You deserve my praise.
You deserve my praise. Adoration and glory.
Adoration and glory.
Yes, it belongs to you.
Belongs to you always.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, Lord,
you deserve
my worship.
And you deserve.
You deserve.
You deserve.
You deserve my praise, God. Adoration and glory belongs to you always. That's why David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not just for today, but for always. She said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. And I just want to thank him. For saving me. Hallelujah. That's the reason to give him thanks. Because he saved us. Because he changed us. Because he delivered us. because he set us free. Glory to God. He's our rescue story. And he never gave up on me. That's a reason to give him thanks. That's a reason to praise him. Because he never gave up on us. Even when we weren't even thinking about him. When he was nowhere near our minds. It says, while we were yet sinners, died for us. While we were yet sinners, in the midst of whatever lifestyle we were living, Christ died for us. While we weren't thinking about him, he was thinking about us. Glory to God. While we weren't considering him, he was considering us. Even while we weren't loving him, he showed his love for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for rescuing me. Hallelujah. Even rescuing me from me. Because I was a danger to myself. Glory to God. Well, thank you for calling in. Just had to give us some glory this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but if it had not been for the Lord, who was on my side, oh, where would I be? Oh, where would I be? Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and get into the word. Amen. Coming out of the book of St. John. St. John, the 9th chapter. I'm going to start off reading 2 verses. St. John, the 9th chapter. We're going to read verses 24 and 25. Verse 24 reads, then again called they the man that was blind unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I'm going to read them again. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. The title of the message this morning is One Thing I Know. Hallelujah. One thing I know. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for watching over us as we lay down and rest before you. Thank you, Father, for charging your angels to be encamped around about us, protecting us and keeping us in that care, God, watching over us, fighting off all the fiery darts of the enemy, God, protecting us from all harm and danger. And thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning to see another glorious day that you have made. Thank you, Father, for the new mercies that came with this day. Your all-sufficient grace, Father. Thank you for your word that saves, your word that heals, your word that delivers, your word that sets free, Father, all those who are bound and captive in what we call sin. Thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus, who you sent to be the propitiation for our sins, to stand in the gap for us, God, to live a sinless life, to take the sins of the world to the cross, God, to be sacrificed, to be crucified. Thank you, Father, for even allowing Jesus to go to hell for us. But he went on a mission to take the keys of hell from Satan, stripping him of all of his power. And thank you, Father, for raising Jesus up on the third day with all power in his hands. Hallelujah. And thank you, Father, for receiving Jesus into heaven with his sinless, precious, conquering blood, giving us the victory, giving us access to you, God. Hallelujah. And thank you, Father, for Holy Spirit, for sending him to be our teacher, our guide, our comforter. And thank you for you, Almighty God, our Father, who art in heaven. Thank you for considering us, Father, for creating us, for calling us your own, God. Those who have accepted your son, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. And now, Father, as we receive your word, help us to apply it to our lives, to make it personal, Father. And that we may go out and share just how good you are, God. How you rescued us, how you changed us, how you saved us, how you delivered us, Father, how you set us free. We'll be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. For you deserve our worship. You deserve our praise, God. Adoration and glory belongs to you always. So I will bless the Lord at all times, and your praise shall continually be in my mouth. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. One thing I know. This passage, this chapter, St. John, the ninth chapter, talks about a man that was born blind. wasn't a secret, because he was known as a beggar. So you can imagine how people used to avoid him. There he is, always big. He was born blind, so everybody knew this man. But then one day, Jesus came by. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to read this story about this blind man that was born blind from birth, and how Jesus healed him. I'm going to start at verse 1. St. John 9th chapter, verse 1. I want you to bear with me this morning, because even though it's talking about a man that was born blind, it's still going to resonate with us. We're still going to relate to it. And it's going to become personal to us. St. John 9th chapter, verse 1. And it reads, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." So that's how he was described. A man that was blind from his birth. "And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, you have to think about this question. His disciples asked him, which one sinned, this man that is blind or his parents? Because it had to be something that people said, people thought about those who had certain sicknesses or diseases or some type of ailment, some type of birth defect. Even when we think about Job, with what he was going through, his friends, they even thought that he had sinned because of what he was going through. His children dying. His cattle dying. Going through sickness. Said he had balls all over his body. So that was the mentality. That if someone was sick, if they had certain types of diseases or birth defects, somebody had to sin. So that's why they asked Jesus, which one sinned, the man or his parents? Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Listen to the answer. It says, sin has nothing to do with it. So let's get that out the way. Nobody's sin for this to happen. But that the words of God should be made manifest in him. So what Jesus was saying was, y'all are about to see a miracle. Y'all are about to see one of the reasons why I came to this earth. I want to say that again. Jesus was telling them, y'all about to see a miracle. Y'all about to see one of the reasons why I came to this earth. See, the Bible says God sent his word to heal us. He sent his word to heal us. And we know Jesus as being the word of God. So God sent Jesus to heal us. Matter of fact, in Isaiah 53, it says, let's look at it. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Isaiah 53rd chapter, verse 1. It reads, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. This is talking about Jesus. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now listen to this. This is actually talking about when Jesus was beaten to the point of death. That he was beaten so bad that they couldn't even recognize him. He was spit on. His beard was ripped from his face. They put a crown of thorns on top of his head and pushed it into his scalp. So he had blood all over him. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Listen to that. Verse 3 reads, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. People couldn't even look on him. Couldn't look at him. Because he was so beaten, bruised. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs. Listen to that. It says, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Smitten of God. See, he was judged as being sinful. They blaming him for what he went through. Jesus was called Beelzebub. He was called a sinner. He was called all types of things. Verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He went through this for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was bruised for us. He was chastised for us. He was wounded for us. He was beaten for us. He was ridiculed for us. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But this next of this scripture, and with his stripes, thank God for his stripes, and with his stripes, we are healed. That should be shouting ground right there. With his stripes, we are. Not might be. Not possibly. Not maybe. But we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Imagine the weight, the burden, the heaviness, and the strength it took. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, not one complaint, not one complaint. As a matter of fact, it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy, he wasn't complaining. for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. And yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Listen to that. The song said he died for you and me. He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked. With the wicked. And with the rich in his death. Had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Innocent. Innocent, not guilty. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 11th chapter. Hebrews 11th chapter. Go look at verse 6. Hebrews 11th chapter. Verse 6. As a matter of fact, let's start at verse 5. Verse 5, and it reads, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Listen to that. Says by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. This is the type of relationship that Enoch had with God. So close that one day Enoch was gone. But it didn't say that he died. He left in the presence of God. Because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony that he pleased God. Now that was that type of relationship, that kind of lifestyle that he lived way back then. Enoch was only a few generations from Adam. So imagine how long ago that was. But he was a man that pleased God. It says that he walked with them. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So Enoch was a man of faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So in order for someone to come to God, they must first believe that he is God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so what are those rewards? If you're seeking him for healing, he's a rewarder. Because we just read that by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. If you're seeking him for finances, says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you're seeking him for protection, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Whatever you're seeking him for, says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But I wanted to point out that this natural man, Enoch, this man of faith, because it says by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. We're talking about Enoch. And his testimony was that he pleased God. Well, let's look at something. Let's go to St. John. St. John, and we're going to start at verse 19. No, we'll start at verse Verse 32. And it reads, and John the record saying, well, let's start at 29. St. John, first chapter, verse 29, says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record, this is the Son of God. So John the Baptist was sharing how when he saw Jesus and Jesus asked him to baptize him, he said, he saw something like a dove descending on Jesus. That's called the anointing. So the anointing was descending on Jesus, was resting on him. And the anointing is the power of God. That's what enabled Jesus to go around doing what he did. The anointing of God. Let's go to Acts 10th chapter. Looking at verse 36. And it reads, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. So the word that was sent from God said, that word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So he anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the anointing that rested upon Jesus. Let's go back to St. John 9th chapter. St. John the 9th chapter. Verse 3. So So after the disciples had asked Jesus, which one had sinned, this blind man or his parents? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. See, Jesus knew his mission. He knew his assignment. He knew the reason why he came to this earth. Verse 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me. This is Jesus speaking. It says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Now let's look at this again. Verse 6 says, when he had thus spoken, when Jesus was speaking, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came back seeing. So was it the spit that healed him? Was it the clay? Was it the pool of Siloam? The key word is anointed. He anointed the eyes of the blind man. So it wasn't the spit. It wasn't the clay. It wasn't the pool. It was the anointing. The anointing is what healed. Verse 10 says, therefore said they unto him, how are thine eyes open? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. See, he knew what it was. It wasn't the clay. It wasn't the pool. It wasn't the spit. It was the anointing. He said, and he anointed mine eyes. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. Talking about Jesus. This man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. See, according to the Pharisees, no man should be doing anything on the Sabbath day. So they're not even looking at the fact that Jesus healed this man. But they're looking at the fact that he healed him on the Sabbath day. Not that he was healed, but that he was healed on the Sabbath day. The day of rest. Which in those days were against. And they said, because of that, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? So that's why I said earlier that they even called Jesus a sinner. And the people asked, how could he be a sinner when he's doing such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now listen to that. This man was known for being born blind. Now that he's healed, they don't believe that he was blind. So they went to ask his parents. Verse 19 says, and they asked him, saying, Is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then does he now see? So now they're questioning the parents. You said he was born blind, but now he sees. How is that? Was he really blind? Was y'all lying? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. They didn't know. They didn't know why he was now seeing. While he was able to see now. Or who had opened his eyes, we know not. But listen to this. They said, he is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. So they said, look, don't come to us. We don't know. But ask him. He's a grown man. Ask him, he'll tell you. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Fearing the people. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. Listen to this oxymoron. Says, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Give God the praise. But then they calling Jesus a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no. He said, look, whether Jesus is a sinner or not. He says, I know not. I don't know. I can't answer that. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He said, look, if y'all saying Jesus is a sinner, I can't answer that for you. But one thing I know is the same thing that you know. I was born blind. I was blind. But now I can see. Then said they to him again, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore, would ye hear it again? Would ye also be his disciples? So he said, look, I'm not going to go back and forth with you. The thing is, I was blind. I was born blind. But because of the anointing, glory to God, because Jesus anointed mine eyes, I'm no longer blind, because now I can see. Hallelujah. This one thing I know. So whatever it is that you're facing, that you're needing, God sent his word to heal you. God sent his word to deliver you. God sent his word that you might be saved and set free. Jesus said this. He said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. That which was lost. Now, a lot of people hate to admit that they're lost. I remember times back in the '80s and '90s, traveling, And some places I would get, I'm like, where in the world am I? But I just kept riding, turning this way, turning that way, until I had to come to the point where I said, you know what? I don't know where I am. I'm lost. So I had to go to a place, a store, get a map, and look at the directions. But I had to come to the place where I admitted that I was lost. So once you get to the place where you can admit that you're lost, where you can admit that you're in a place where you can't see your way out of, in a place where you can't see yourself escaping, being free from, I came to seek and save that which is lost. I am the way. I am the light. I am the truth. I am the answer. I am the deliverer. I am the healer. I am the one that has been anointed to change your situation. All you have to do is admit. As first, they must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then it says in Romans, says, if thou shalt believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth, ye shall be saved. Romans 10 chapter, 8 verse. And it reads, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That word of faith is anointed that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One thing I know. One thing I know, your situation is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not an if. And the truth you know shall make you free. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Thank you for your anointing, Father. Thank you, Father, for allowing Jesus to suffer to take the sins of the world to the cross, to bear our iniquities. Thank you, Father, for allowing Jesus to be tortured, to be ridiculed, to be made ashamed of. All for our salvation. For our deliverance. For our healing. For our peace, for our joy. Thank you, Father, for never giving up on us. You deserve our worship. You deserve our praise. Adoration and glory belongs to you always. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us, you anointed him, Father, how you gave him power, authority, thank you, Father. My soul, hallelujah. And I want to thank you for saving me. And as your word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus, shall be saved. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. One thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. One thing I know, whereas I was lost, now I'm found. One thing I know, whereas I was sick, I am healed. Where one thing I know, whereas I was a drunkard, an alcoholic, I'm sober, I'm free, I'm delivered. One thing I know, that all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, because I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. One thing I know. Love you. God bless you. Talk to you next week. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries. My brother Norman Wood.